Hello everyone, welcome. My name is Peter Littman. I'm the chair of Transition Network. And as you'll have gathered, those of you who haven't been before, if someone who's speaking holds their hands up, and if you see that, if you could stop talking and hold your hand up, it's a really lovely way of getting quiet immediately. It's always a great mixture of delight and trepidation at this moment at the beginning of the conference. And this year we've got the usual kind of new place, some new faces, some familiar faces, and no idea at all what's going to happen, other than an outline of what we think is going to happen over the next 2 days. So it's fantastic to have you all here with us, to join us. Could you start now for just 2 minutes, 1 minute each way, turning to someone next to you or behind you, preferably someone you don't know well, and just saying hello, introducing yourself, maybe saying one or two things you'd like to see come out of this next 2.5 days, and then swapping back. Can anybody not hear me? Good. I'm aware that there are people you can't. Okay, I'm not sure what to do about it. I'll try and speak a bit more clearly. I'm aware that there are people here for whom English isn't their first language. If there are times when you're struggling to hear or understand what's going on, please put your hand up and let us know. We're not going to be able to suddenly launch into other languages, but we can slow down. And that's a good reminder for us to get. I'm not aware of any fire alarms being planned, so we can see here.
I was going to make a suggestion, potentially, that if English is not, say, a first language, if there's people that maybe speak a language and do an instant translation to pair up, maybe it might help. I don't know.
So I think the thing to do is, if you're struggling on language grounds, come to reception and tell us, and then we'll make an announcement trying to find people to pair you up with who might be able to help you. Okay? There's no fire alarms planned. If there is an alarm go off, please could you make your way out to the nearest exit to outside the building. Okay, I've been asked also to set a quick context for the theme of this year's conference. And actually, Rob's blog of a couple of days ago sets part of the theme. I don't know how many of you saw his blog about the report that came out from the World Economic Forum on what the people who have power and money think are the major risks that we all face. And it's really interesting to see that report, where they're talking about the risks with the highest likelihood and the highest impact basically being climate change, extreme price volatility of energy, and fiscal crisis. And that feels like an interesting framing, because so much of what we're doing in transition is about facing up to those things. And so maybe now that's becoming part of a mainstream agenda that we all do need to face up to those things. And then the other thing that came out recently, which I thought was a wonderful setting for what we're trying to do, or I'm not sure wonderful is the right word, a setting anyway, was what happened after the recent earthquake in New Zealand. Where again, talking to people from New Zealand, the transition groups there were able to respond incredibly effectively and quickly to that earthquake, because they're used to thinking about how do we respond as communities to these shocking interruptions to our lives. And that seemed to me a perfect setting, really, for this year's conference. Here we are, thinking about how do we function as groups, how do we respond to these things that impact on us, and practicing. And sometimes it can feel like there's an enormous world out there, and what we're doing is of no relevance at all. And then you get something like the earthquake in New Zealand, and you find that the people who have been thinking about this have been working in groups, have groups that function where they support each other, can respond to that shocking interruption. And that feels to me like a beautiful framing of what we're trying to do this weekend, which is build on our thinking and our practice around that, and improve it, and scale it up, and go out into the world and use it. Okay, Rob, are you able to come up and do your bit?
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be here. and to see so many old faces and new faces, and even some very, very, very new faces who weren't even born the last time we met. So I was just asked to say a few words about maybe how things are going. You know, we've been doing this for 5 years now. It's 5 years since we sort of started this idea about maybe something called transition would be a good idea. So it's a few years now since we, 5 years ago since we started this idea of having something called transition that would do this, that, and the other, and set out a very tentative kind of a model. It's very interesting, I think, to pause at this point 5 years on and have a look at where we are and where things are going. So there are now 375 official transition initiatives, 402 mothers, although actually the anecdotal evidence is that there's a lot more than that. So people get in touch from Japan where there's just a handful of formal transition projects, and say that actually there's loads more that aren't registered, and that seems to be the same in lots of places too. So what's been really fascinating for me over the last year and a half, 2 years, has been the process of creating this the transition companion, which you can see the blad for outside, and if you haven't picked one up, do pick one just on your way outside there, which is coming out late September, has been a really, really interesting collaborative process, which many of you have fed into and shared your stories and your photographs and your experience of what you're doing, and it's been a really fantastic collaborative process of pulling all that stuff together. But it's also offered a really useful sense of where we are now. So what we had originally was the idea of the 12 steps, but actually what's emerged from that process is really seeing what there is now in terms of what we might think of as ingredients and tools that people are using, and that's really, really exciting to see. And some of the stories that have come back from that have been fantastic in terms of what's happening now. So things like the Lewis power station recently, where in about 5 weeks they raised £307,000 in order to cover the local brewery and solar PV. And the people here who are making a film in transition, which many of you would really like you to tell your stories for that film. They wanted to film the solar panels going onto the place, and they've been going up so quickly they almost missed it. Such was the keenness to get them on there. The story of what's been happening in Norwich in terms of how they did the Can Norwich Feed Itself programme, where they looked at the area, the city, the land around it, how much food the area could grow, and then that then led into a whole process of raising some funding for the initial catalyst things to get that going, a new mill, new farms, and so on. So looking at these projects, but in a very strategic kind of context. In Malvern, where they've got the gas lamps throughout Malvern that are listed, 109 of them Victorian gas lamps that cost a fortune to maintain every year, cost each £130 worth of gas, and the energy group from Transition Malvern, who are known locally as the Gasketeers, stepped in, and I think they basically sort of drew together all the energy nerds in Malvern, and they looked at the lamps and totally rethought them and redesigned them. So they now use 84% less gas to run. They're 10 times brighter than they were before. And they're now looking at installing an anaerobic digestion scheme to power the lights. There's the Bristol Pound currency, the Bristol Pound, and there'll be a workshop about that. So the transition currencies that started with Totnes and Lewis, Brixton, Stroud, now moving into a new evolution of what mobile phone-based local currencies look like. There's all the amazing things happening around the world as well. People have come here from Brazil, from Sweden, from Portugal, from Spain, from all over the place to share their stories about what's happening. We're really grateful that you've come to share those stories. Thank you for that. There was the shop. It's interesting as well to see when transition projects start up that there's such a catalyst for other things. So in Slathwaite or Slowit in Yorkshire, where the local grocery shop shut down, and the local community decided actually they wanted to keep the shop open, they wanted to run it themselves. They raised £15,000 in about 3 weeks in order to take the shop over. The shop's now running, but it's also now become a catalyst for a local food growing cooperative, for an energy cooperative. All these other things are kind of spinning off it. And when they started running the shop, they told this really lovely story about how when they became people who were running the shop, they became wholesalers, they wanted to sell garlic, and they found that as wholesalers, the only garlic you could buy came from China. So they thought, this is just ridiculous. We grow pretty good garlic around here as well. So they started the Slathwaite Garlic Challenge. And everybody who came in the shop got given a clove or two of garlic and said, take it home and grow it, and we'll buy it off you. And if we can't manage anything else, we'll at least be self-sufficient in garlic. In this town. And I think that this conference takes place at a really interesting point, because many of you may have seen the articles in the paper last week about the whole debate about Linus, and people have kicked up this, well, has the Green Movement lost its way? Where are we going in terms of climate change? And I think actually what we're seeing here with the work that you're all doing, and the many, many hundreds of thousands of people who you represent and who you work with in the communities that you come from, is a different way of looking at how we deal with this. And it's not just a question of, do we go nuclear, or do we roll around in the mud eating potatoes, mouldy potatoes, and beating ourselves with nettles. But actually there is another way, where actually we start to look at localization, and that whole process of what we can create with that, and the amazing sort of what's bubbling up through transition groups in terms of this idea of economic development coming through localization, the creativity and the brilliance that we're seeing emerging, is a very, very powerful third way. And I think we're really just starting to see the power of that. So I'm really thrilled. I think this is, as usual, going to be a fascinating couple of days. If this is your first Transition Network conference, welcome. And if you've come before, welcome also. And I think we're going to have a great few days. So thank you. Do I have to say? Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, neat. Thank you. Yeah, welcome. And we're very fortunate this year to be here. Well, one of the ideas of coming to Liverpool initially was that Liverpool was announced it's going to be one of the four big society pilot projects. So we thought, well, we can go to Liverpool and show what the big society should have been and could have been. But since then, Liverpool City Council had their eminent good sense to say, actually, we're not going to bother with that. You're all much credibility. Anyway, we're delighted to introduce Pete North from Transition Liverpool, who's going to welcome us here to this fine city.
Thank you very much, Rob. You're very welcome to Liverpool. Those of you who are not from England probably think you're still in England. You're not. You're in the People's Republic of Scouseland. A port, outward-looking, very, very wealthy place, 200 years ago. The climate change, peak oil, often what we're thinking about is our children, our grandchildren, and the future. Many of the things we do today at the moment, we think are quite normal, consuming resources, not thinking about the future. It's a normal thing in our lives. Future generations might well look back and say, what were you thinking? Why did you consume those resources? And we're starting to build a slightly different way. In a similar way, a man called Roscoe, 200 years ago, said it's wrong to buy and sell people into slavery because of the colour of their skin. Everybody said, you're crazy. If we don't do it, somebody else will do it, probably the French. The people that we sell into slavery are living in a nice, hot countryside, not like the northwest of England, which is rainy and cold. Actually, people in England have a much worse time than slavery. So what are you playing at? So I think one of the things you can learn from Liverpool is that times change. Things that are seen as absolutely normal, in the future, people will see as absolutely abhorrent. Similarly, thinking about peak oil, thinking about energy insecurity, thinking about the way that the economy is changing, and that we might need to develop more localised economies where we're much more self-reliant on what we're doing. You're in a city that was killed by the last oil crisis in the 1970s. Liners disappearing, 747s coming in, killed the port here. Joining the European community rather than connecting to the Commonwealth took away Liverpool's livelihood. Is it a city that's marooned on the wrong side of the country? Should it be here? Do you want to tell it out and see it here? Is there any reason for Liverpool still to be here? 500,000 people living in Liverpool in 1950, about 275,000 people here, which is why our roads are relatively empty. So we're in a city that has become resilient to oil crises, to oil shocks, and become resilient to long-term economic problems. So while you're here, you'll be able to learn from and talk to people in Liverpool that have been doing what we now call localisation for the past 20 or 30 years. The Eldonians in North Liverpool, a sugar factory closed down. What do we do? Do we just get everybody out of the area? Lo, the community there got together and said, we want a proper housing estate, we want to look after ourselves, we want to provide a nursery, we want to provide employment. In the face of the militant council at the time, with a little bit of support from the government, they're still there. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story of what you can do. We've got the School for Social Entrepreneurs in this city that has been, for many, many years, helping people to create employment themselves. There is an employment in the private sector in Liverpool. It just doesn't happen. It's the public sector will look after itself. So the city is well used to looking after itself. So there's a lot to learn from there, and you're very, very, very welcome. And Neil just wanted to say just another couple of things.
We're going to be talking, sort of deep diving into transition this weekend, but I just wanted to give you another slight welcome to Liverpool and slightly put it into context of what's happening within the city. 2020, the head of health and wellbeing is just getting going, following on from 2010, year of health and wellbeing. And this is the health groups, the NHS are involved in this, the council's involved in this. This is happening across the city region. And again, this follows on from the Capital of Culture that many of you will have heard about in 2008. And whilst the council has been really focusing on economic growth and developing the city centre, lots of other things are also going on. And this decade of health and wellbeing, I think, is a really great opportunity and the strap line of the campaign is equal, well, and green. So I think that really fits in with what we're looking at. The first plug is that at the end of July, 30th and 31st of July, at the Anglican Cathedral, there's a production of As the World Tipped, and this is a huge theatrical aerial production. Okay, I've got to wrap up, but anyway, if you're around then, and there's loads of resilience things going on in the council and going on throughout the city, so it's just about linking up with all those things from top to the bottom. Thank you.
Okay, in a sec, Joe's going to lead you through the timetable for today and the weekend. I've just got a series of announcements. Okay, firstly, to remind you, it's a no-smoking site. If you want to smoke, please go outside and do it near the cigarette bins. Next thing is that if you've booked dinners, then you should have a voucher. If you haven't booked a dinner and you want to eat tonight, go to reception. If you want to know people's emails, we're not going to be organising an email list for the whole conference. So if you're in a workshop and you want to stay in touch with people, pass a sheet around, collect emails, someone take responsibility for that in each workshop. Similarly, if you're in workshops, then if you want them scribed, think about who's going to do that and how you're going to report that around. We're not taking responsibility for that. We will be recording two of the workshops today, and the two that we're recording today are going to be Rob's workshop on the Transition Companion and Ingredients, and the local currency workshop. So if you're kind of not quite sure about which workshops to go to, you will be able to access full sound recordings of those two. We also are switching a couple of the rooms. Hang on. So on the Hot Topics session, we're switching the rooms for the leadership Hot Topic and the financial instability one. So that means that the leadership Hot Topic will now be in the Conference Centre, Seminar Rooms 1 and 2, and Financial Instability will be in this building in FML 211. When it's 211, that means room number 11 on the second floor of this building. And one other suggestion, which is that in terms of the theme group workshop, that housing and energy merge, because there have been low numbers of sign-ups for both of those. So the suggestion is that both of those happen in FML 211. And if you come to a workshop and there are very few people there, and the people in that workshop can decide to maybe see if they can merge into other workshops. You don't have to sit in a room with three of you thinking, what are we going to do? Okay, quickly, just to warn you, we'll talk more about this tomorrow morning. There is going to be a marketplace where, on Sunday after the big group process, where there's going to be a lot of space for making connections, putting out leaflets, a kind of, in a way, a slight substitute for the open space that we've had at previous conferences, where you can find people who want to talk about the things that interest you. But we'll tell you more about that tomorrow morning. Filming. Becky, could you stand up and make yourself known to people? Is Becky here? There at the back of the room. That's Becky. Becky's leading this weekend on the filming for an Amex film. And she would like to get as many short interviews with as many people as possible. Not going to take a lot of your time, but obviously the more interviews that she can get, the richer her choice will be for the making of the film. And she'll be available between 1:30 and 5:30, just outside. Becky, where are you going to be?
In the dining area.
Right, in the dining area. So please go along. She's looking for stories on oral histories, reskilling, and young people in particular. In terms of the young people, moving sounds are here with them. They're in room 035, which is just outside and along the corridor. And I think they're saying that there are a couple of people they haven't found, a couple of teenagers, and they're very, very welcome to join them if they want to. But they've already started their session with the young people. Okay, our hosts here at Hope are quite particular about what we do with the furniture, whether we move it around. So we're not allowed to move the desks in the evening classrooms, and please don't move the furniture in the food court, it upsets them. And no sticking things on walls at all. You can stick things up on the glass, on wood, on plastic, but not on walls, even with blue tack or white tack, okay? You can sign up for the open mic session at reception. Does anyone not know what open mic is? There we go. Mike, can tell them.
So it's an entertainment evening where... speak on your mic. It's an entertainment evening where you provide things. So if you've got some song or poem or something you want to entertain us with, then that's your chance.
And finally, please can you put 50p in the pay and display if you're parked on the campus? You don't have to pay for the overnight, but you do have to put 50p in if you're parked each day. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My name's Ed, I'm the web guy, responsible for that, with various people in the room. I'm just a couple of minutes about the various people who will be roving around with cameras and microphones and things like that. Just in case, Pete mentioned the film with Becky, who's there to capture stuff specifically for In Transition to the movie. And we're very, very keen that you do that. That will be on a film, it'll be on the internet and all that sort of stuff. So please do go and see her. As well as that, there's two sort of groups of people who we're sort of loosely branded under what we're calling stories and storytelling. So there are storytellers who are going to walk around in hats, who you're going to hear about in a minute. And there are also a couple of people roving around who we're calling social reporters. Now, the social reporting thing comes in with a big blogging experiment we're starting in September, where we're getting people from all around the country to write about their experiences of being in transition, because we think there's a bit of lack of that in modern society and News International and places like that. And so we're doing a sort of miniature experiment here at the conference. So if you can see David Wilcox, who is an old man over here, and Charlotte Ducan of the Sloan Carbon Climate Stand Up, and David, let me get, they're quite shy, they prefer hiding behind cameras. But they will be roaming around and asking people, what we thought we'd try and do is get people to interview each other. So the purpose of that is to, number one, help you lot talk to each other, deepen your experience of what you're here and what each other's up to. And also we're going to take those and pop them on YouTube, sling them on a blog, and make sure that people who can't be here can get a sense of it. If you don't like the idea and you see us coming, that's absolutely fine. Just let us know, politely. Bows and arrows are not welcome. And we will also be, well, I will be in a media action station or something, just over here in one of the pods with some computers. And I'll very kindly ask anyone who likes writing and would like to write a short piece that we can put on the blog, just to come and sit down for 5 minutes and bash something out. The staff have very kindly lent me their computers very quickly, and so we're just there, we've got a blog, there's people in New Zealand and Brazil and all around the world who really want to know what's going on. So we're going to be doing some little interviewee stuff on YouTube, and I've also asked the facilitators to see if you can identify a scribe in your workshops who will write it up for 100, 150 words again, so that we've got this stuff for perpetuity. Thanks.
Okay, a couple of other quick points. There are some people here who are trustees of Transition Network, so if you have feedback that you want to give to Transition Network, if you look at the badges, please find the trustees. Do you want to stand up, actually, guys? Claire, Sarah, Gary, there's another Sarah somewhere. Great, okay, and me. So do give us feedback. If you've got announcements you want us to make, then can you either come to me or go to reception and let us know. With the hot topics, someone has asked whether that is going to be like open space. So can people kind of go in and then if they're not feeling interested, move on to other hot topics? That is possible. We would strongly encourage you not to do that. The point of the hot topics is to listen to what's being said and then respond. It's a deepening inquiry. So if you do move on, you won't have heard what's already been said. And therefore, if you do move on, I would encourage you maybe not to jump into the middle and participate as much, because you may be just repeating what's been said already. But obviously, if you're in a hot topic and it really isn't working for you, we're not saying that you have to stay there and suffer. Well, I don't know, maybe we should.
So once, in a time that was and was not a time of transition, in the great city of the Liverbird, there was a gathering of many people, of many travellers, and they came from across the land, from villages, towns, cities, and they came from across the ocean too. And there was a traveller amongst those people, and the traveller, well, she had a rather beautiful red canvas haversack.
She told her story in the third person. She had found the haversack on the way, and she picked it up because she rather liked it. She liked its redness, and she liked its haversackness. She'd found it as she entered a wood along the path, and in the clearing, she came to a gathering. Now, in her haversack, she decided she knew not where it came from. It had belonged to somebody else. But there were certain things she decided she needed for this particular journey. And some things were just very, very practical. So in one pocket, she had some water, and she had a bit of bread. Maybe she could break the crumbs and find her way home again. But she soon discovered that the haversack had some very special properties. And she, having no name, because she was ultimately everybody who has somewhere a red haversack, came to the gathering to find out not only what she would be carrying and bringing with her, but also what would carry her. And so, in her haversack, there was also spirit and song and ceremony and things that she would need along the way. And so, she told everybody about the days when they would journey together and the haversack would travel with them. And at the end, they would see what it carried and how it carried them. And some of those things were all around. And everybody was asked to join in. There would be storytellers, but there would also be certain stations along the way, creating other spaces that you could settle in, be still for a while. There was a lake of tears. There was storytelling, and there was a creating of visions. And in that way, the tasks would gather the visions of the world, the courage, and some other kind of compass to follow. And so, with that, she joined the gathering.
Hi, I'm Jo, and I'm from Totnes, and I'm helping to facilitate the conference, and a big, big welcome And I just want to take a moment to honour and respect every one of you and how what it must have taken to get here and all of the people at home that are supporting you to be here. And I just get really excited when there's a gathering like this and there's so much passion and energy that comes together. And in particular, as the kind of world crisis gets, it feels like it's escalating, doesn't it? Does anybody feel like it's escalating here? Yeah, right. And so there's that thing of how, in the face of that escalation, can we actually pull together, be together, and find a way? I always think of Lord of the Rings as a fantastic parable of our time. And there was only about six of them, wasn't there? In the face of 50 billion orcs. And for me, that is really the story of our time. And for me, that's what we're doing here. So I'm going to go over a map of the world. Okay, so this is our schedule. And I'm just going to run briefly through it. And this is a slightly different visual version of what you've got given when you register. So after this session here, we have a tea break of half an hour, followed by theme groups. And within the theme groups will be the formation of your home groups, of which you have a hopefully self-explanatory handout. The theme groups, I realise that some of you maybe have two or three different theme groups that you're interested in. If you just go to the one that feels like it's calling you today. And I think there's something about everything that we do that everything's a learning opportunity. And it may be that it's not what we think it was. We imagine there's some green hill far away that's got what we want on it. But how can we actually just really learn from whatever it is that we find ourselves in, with all its perfection and imperfection. So yes, that's, and the home groups will thread through, so you meet again on Sunday at the end of the day and on the Monday before we close. Then this afternoon it's the first of the short workshops, of which the sign-up sheets are outside, and the hot topic inquiries after tea break, which, again, you have the subjects for. We're going to put a limit of about 50 people on each hot topic, so we need to encourage you to sign up by lunchtime, so we've got some sense of an idea of how many people are going to be in each of those hot topics. This evening, we have Jay Griffiths, who wrote an amazing book called Wild, speaking this evening. Followed by some moving and shaking at some time that we don't know when that will be in the bar. Surprise moving and shaking. Or just standing still, if that's your preference. So, I think. And because of the nature of this venue, we don't have this rhythm of announcements all in the same place. So the next time we'll be making announcements will be in the refectory at lunchtime, and then just before Jay Griffith's talk. Okay. So next, tomorrow morning, there'll be a group journey or inquiry with all of us together. We'll start up here and finish in the refectory. And the headline of that is going to be, how can we deepen into a culture that supports us as the challenges and emergencies come thicker and faster? How can we come together in the face of those challenges rather than split and fight each other? And how can we create a culture where massive differences of opinion can be born without it being catastrophic? That we can find a plurality of views as being a strengthening thing rather than a separating thing. After the tea break on Sunday, there will be a space which includes the tea break to continue conversations that might have started in the theme groups or the fishbowls or other meetings that you might just find yourself needing to have. So there's a space there for those meetings, and that's where the marketplace that Peter talked about will be. We'll say more about that tomorrow. And we'll finish the morning with half an hour just to get to see where we're at, hear from people, and get some feedback from each of the fishbowls so we get a headline of that. The afternoon, long workshops, then I'll skip to the evening. Oh, in both days, there's early evening activities which are on the... today it's dance, tomorrow it's singing. Both days it's football, and then there's a herb walk today, a tree walk tomorrow, and the art making, which is just out of the chapel and on the right, there's little pods where these activities that Lucy referred to are sitting, where you can make postcards, collages, where you can tell stories to each other. And I really encourage you to take that opportunity to use those different spaces. And tomorrow's evening entertainment will be the open mic. Then Monday, short workshop first thing in the morning, so we won't gather before that, we'll just go straight to the workshop. And then the home groups and the final session will all start in here. Okay? Are we ship shape? Hey! Okay. I think. Oh, the name tags. You've all got a name tag. And on your name tag on the bottom it says, talk to me about. Now that could either be something you want to talk to people about, or something that you want people to talk to you about. So I really encourage you to write something in there. And the reason for that is just so you can start to find each other. Because the whole process that we're doing together is trying to create ways where we can make the connections and have the conversations that we need to have. Yes, it's a way of identifying yourself to each other. Yes, I'd like to hand you over to Inez.
Hi. So I'm going to teach you a song. And if some of you feel like a little bunny in the headlights as soon as I say the word singing, then don't worry, because we're all here together, and just experience yourself as being sung rather than singing. So this is a song from Guinea in West Africa. It's actually a welcome song. Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah. Yes, Ben? Oh, okay. All right. Actually, I just suddenly saw Hal suggested I actually taught you a Liverpool chant, but I declined. So it's a song from Guinea, and the words are Pura Mame, Pura Mame, Pura Mameo, Pura Mameo, and Mame meaning grandmother. And then the second time round, you sing Pura Same, Same being grandfather. So it's a greeting song for the elders. And I know not a lot of you here are elders, but we are trying to create a world in which we all will have time to become some. So I will sing the first line and then repeat after me. And also, I'll listen to this note and forget it all. Pura Mame. Let's try that. we'll get there. And what I'd like to like us to do now is if we could get up off our seats and make a circle. Okay, so the circle is going to come around here. Go around the chairs. Am I directing that? The circle is coming around the chairs with a gap down the middle, so you can make a circle.
So if you come around this alleyway here, so the circle goes here, round like that. Yeah?
So this is a bit of self-organising, which we like so much in transition. Come on, you can do it.
So you might have to be, if you at the back come right forward, so that we're just a circle here.
It's all along.
It's a flatter circle, right? Yeah. To come forward, to the middle.
So that we're much more here, and there's two or three deep here. And
to the back.
Yeah. Can you come forward?
Come right forward.
Come.
And let's make two circles so that you're standing in front of each other. If you come round here, all of you, and stand in front, so we're two deep, two or three deep. And the same over there, there's room for three deep over there. Some more of you need to go to the front.
It's slowly making sense, isn't it? Okay.
We need more of the front so that these guys can come into the circle. Can you shuffle around there?
And now we have to stand on each other's shoulders.
Beautiful. Great.
Right. More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what?
There's still some people out in the circle here.
So as you're moving around, we're just going to, what we're going to do now is we're going to sing those two parts together. I'll start with the lower part and I'll bring the higher part in. And what I'd like you to do when you do the wah, it sounds a little bit like wah, doesn't it? I don't know what it means, but we'll just kind of like give it that sort of wah and look at someone across the room. And greet them, whether they're an elder or not, or the elder they might become. So here we go. This is the lower part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you were doing? No. Okay, but we're just going to give it a little go. So would anybody who is under 20 or over 65
step forward from the mass and make yourself more visible. You might have to step over a chair or two. Fantastic. Are you the only one? 19. Excellent. Fantastic.
No, you're not on your own.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but we only look 50.
Isn't this wonderful? I'd love to ask you for news items, but we're unfortunately desperately running out of time. So let's just see you. Do you want to turn around to face everybody and just see? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Honouring our elders and our youngest. Thank you. Are you the only one? And the little one here. Yeah. Excellent. And another one here. Thank you very much, our youngers. Excellent. The future of our world. Thank you. So if you guys go back, so if you could step forward, not quite as far as these guys have, if your initiative has been going more than 4 years, if your transition initiative has been going more than 4 years, wow, look at that. Fantastic. Our founders. Excellent. What's that? Whose initiative has been going 2 to 3 years, or between 2 and 4 years, let's put it like that. That's the grand swell of our film. Yeah, very good. Fantastic. And lastly, those of you whose initiative has been going less than a year and is a new seedling. And I guess I missed out 1 to 2 years, didn't I? Let's have 1 to 2 years. Fantastic. And then lastly, any of those of you who don't come from the UK, who come from other places in the world and have come a long way to be here today, if you could step forward. Really welcome. There's a lot of you. It's fantastic. Okay, so now we're going to try and do something, and after we've done this, we're all just going to leave for tea break, okay? So this is going to be a challenge of the chairs, is we're going to attempt to do a geographic mapping with Liverpool right at the centre here.
Yes!
And sort of the furthest away from Liverpool, so which is the north? Anybody... That's the north.
Well, not actually.
For the sake of this moment, that is the north, unless anyone can quickly find out on their iPhone. That's the north. Is that the actual north?
Yes, church faces east.
Okay, that's the north. That is the east, this is the west, and this is the south, and this is Liverpool. So just find out from each other where you're from, and let's do an approximate mapping. Does Fiona or Sophie or Joe have the other radio mics?
Yes.
Please come to the front.
Walk on, walk on.
That was fun. Okay, so we're just going to take a few news items from different places in the room just before we take a tea break. So, from somebody at the north. Has any of you got an item of news you want to share? Just very little snippet headline.
Oh, I want to share. We have a fantastic magazine for the future. Well, the title is "He Became Gold." Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm from Sweden. I'm sorry. This is Sweden.
Okay, and one from the east.
From Denmark, we launched the local currency a month ago.
Somebody from the West. Have any of you got an item of news you'd like to share with us?
Trayton, the U.S., in May we did a 350 home and garden challenge with initiatives across the U.S. We mobilized 1,500 home and garden actions in a weekend.
What?
and somebody in the south. Anybody got the news item?
Duncan and Sarah had a baby.
Hi, Isabella from Brazil.
Yay!
From somebody in the centre, any news items?
Liverpool is planning a food symposium in October called Feeding Liverpool in a World in Energy Crisis, and we'd be delighted for anybody who's within reach of the city to come and join us in that.
And anybody who's burning to share a news item, put your hand up.
Desperate for a cup of tea.
One last news item from anybody in the room.
It's all a news item. If anybody fancies a dance later on, Liverpool Woodcraft folk would love to invite you to a ceilidh at the Holy Trinity Church Centre, which is about 10 minutes walk along Walton Road. I'll be leaving about 7 o'clock. Anybody wants to join me, come and dance. 7 o'clock at reception.
And there's one last news item here.
We've just started a local garden on an old school playing field with the adult children and some adults. And it's still fledgling, but it's getting there very slowly.
Okay, we're slightly over time.
If any musicians who are interested in performing tomorrow night are interested in meeting and just connecting and seeing how we can collaborate, 2015 in the dining room.
So we need to be, it's 10 past 11. We were meant to finish at 11. So I'd be really grateful if we could cut our tea break short and make it 20 minutes. Is that okay? So if you get to your tea group by 11:30, that would be fantastic. And tea will be in the refectory. Thank you.